Welcome to Bounce with Zanella Morrison, the podcast that has conversations with extraordinary, ordinary people. Okay, so let's pick up from really the conversation on the bed with your daughter that morning, and what was on her mind. How did she make you not give up, but know that you still have the option to do different? So I love the courage that you have. So on another angle is, I have been an entrepreneur my whole life, mm-hmm. but I have worked in corporate my whole life at the same time. There's nothing wrong Mm-mm. in going back into corporate and getting out and going back and get, I mean, not everyone can do it. You sort of have to have a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to sell yourself, and you have to be able to get in and learn. I wish everybody would hire me on a contract, but mm-hmm. sometimes it's a permanent job, sometimes it's a contract. Mm-hmm. So my CV looks really kind of funny because mm-hmm. they expect to just see you as an employee mm-hmm. or, you know, why would mm-hmm. you be on a contract? Why, you know, mm-hmm. and it gives you a little bit more flexibility, right, to do that. So why not consider taking jobs?
You know, things that
and
you
that's what
ask
I wanted to
question.
Say to you on LinkedIn. Like, so go get a job, girl, if you need a job. You can always come back to this dream train.
You know what? And thanks for that. You know, I don't even know how to answer this. But firstly, maybe to put some perspective, is that at the beginning of this year, and I think it was actually before that that LinkedIn post, right at the beginning of this year, I had decided on set the tone for this year, and I don't know whether to call it resolution for this year. And my resolution for this year was that I called this year the year of different. And I call it the year of different because I am cognizant of the fact that in order to see different results, you have to put in different. So you can't keep on doing one and the same thing and expect a different outcome. So I have to do different. If I want different results, I have to do different. So that was that. So meaning that I'm out to do different, whatever that different is, I have to do different this year. My second word for this year is that it's a year of courage. I have to be very courageous, because being courageous means having a firm belief in a better future. So I have to take those bold steps and be courageous in the moves that I need to make. And sadly, lastly, this year, I call it the year of harvest, that I have planted seeds in this entrepreneurial journey for 8 years now. It's time I harvest. Can I just start?
Do you want an amen from me?
Please.
Do you want an amen? Amen. So please. Amen. I just sensed you wanted one.
Thank you. And that was that. And when I was faced with this discussion, my daughter then says to me that, Mom, if you say 8 years has been a mistake, it means that me, my brother, and my father has made a mistake for 8 years.
Oh, wow.
And she says, I refuse to believe that the past 8 years have been a mistake. She says, I refuse to believe
How
that
old is she?
16.
Oh, my word. So much pressure.
Us sitting here when you come to me at 2 a.m. because you have gotten such a great idea for the next chapter in your book, and we brainstorm it, that all those hours and me waking up late for school because I was sitting with you in the a.m.s, all those hours were for nothing. It was a mistake. It's not a mistake. So that was number one, that got me to like, you know what, this is not a mistake. I'm sticking it out. Number two is that in doing different, I also went out and said, I've tried this entrepreneurial thing on my own. I've been running around on my own networks and everything. And I always say to people that it's important to have a coach, but I actually never took time to appoint a coach for myself. So even a coach needs a coach. So now I have a coach, and this was the discussion I also had with my coach, why I'm bringing him in, is that I've also come to a point where I realize that there are too many ways to killing this cat, to achieving this. And like you correctly said, there is absolutely nothing wrong with going to corporate. And especially today, that we live in the hybrid workspace, work mode, you know, that companies are now even flexible. As a matter of fact, companies are now looking for entrepreneur-minded people to come and work in their space. So they are more open to you being an entrepreneur and working with them on contract. So I went back to my drawing board and I was like, you know what? In order for me to achieve this, to do this and get things, I've got to do different, right? I want different outcome. I've got to do different. So I've gotten myself a coach and I am looking for a corporate job to help me pick myself up and pick other things up while I am pushing my company. So definitely I remain an entrepreneur. I remain a speaker. I remain a nonprofit organization founder. I remain all these hats that I'm wearing. A writer. Oh my God. Yeah, by the way, I'm an author also. I remain that, but I need corporate to help me keep things going.
Yeah,
you know,
but I think that's
where I am.
I think we need to be mindful of the language that we use, because when you are in a corporate and you have a job, that's your job. You had better do it like amazingly well.
Of course.
There is no straddling, right? So I don't necessarily encourage straddling. I say you have to, unless you find one that needs only a certain amount of time for you. But when you're in, it's a 7 to 7, and I say a 7 to 7 because you know, it depends on the kind of worker that you are, but 7 to 7 for me is sort of like a minimum, and it's like a max.
You know what, Zanele? COVID has taught us different. Nothing stops us from negotiating a different contract.
Exactly. So you can organize a different contract.
Yes.
But you know what else you can do? You can also take on a role that does not demand of you as much as you are capable of.
Exactly.
So you could take on something that is so easy for you to do that you've got bandwidth. You know, but I'm also hoping that corporate is okay with that, because I find that there's a scarcity mentality that corporate has for its employees. And it's also selective. You know, some people on a weekend can go off and they have like a farm and they've got sheep and cows and goodness knows what else. And they've got family businesses that they're nurturing. That's part of their legacy. I don't think you have that, Degility. You know, like there's a very slim chance that you and I would have that. So you've got to find other ways to build that legacy.
Yes.
So you've got to find other ways to do that, so that your kids have got maybe an apartment block in Yana, or they've got something. You've got to do that now for them to have something that they are, that is building up their storehouse. But they'll still have to have jobs. So we have to have jobs, but we have to have legacy.
We have to,
because jobs also come to an end, right? Sometimes a job comes to an end. You get to the age of 65 or 63, you have to retire. But we know how good we're going to look at the age of 62 and how much energy we're going to have because of technology. So it's about saying that, how do we build a job is a job. You've got to do it.
You've got to commit. Yes.
But there is nothing wrong in you being an author.
Yes.
And we've got to, and I'm wanting the world to be open to accepting that you have a right to do that.
But you know, for me, more than anything, I think it's also being able to, and I don't know whether this is the right word, for the lack of a right word, to be able to be in a driving seat and determine what you want and how you want to go about it. I understand. At this point, I must almost say I need corporate for that income. But I should also never undermine and be fearful to think around, how is that going to fit around my world, around what I want? And also at the same time, being aware that I can't tell corporate how to do things, but I can be very, very specific in where I look and what I look for that would accommodate what I'm doing. One of the talks that I give that I'm so popular known for, is what I call vision within vision.
Okay.
And vision within vision really is saying to people that you've got to know what you're working towards, know your own vision, and understand how working for corporate in turn contributes towards you achieving your vision. By you working in a corporate, helping corporate to achieve its own vision. Because by me working in an organization, I am part and parcel of that organization achieving its vision. So when I work in, argument's sake, I'll use a bank as an argument. When I work in a bank, I contribute towards a bank achieving its own vision,
mm-hmm.
from whatever angle, whether as a receptionist, whether as a teller or whatever, in whatever little way, I'm contributing towards that bank achieving its own vision. But what I am now arguing is that in turn, you should determine how that bank contribute towards you achieving your own vision. So there must always be a vision alignment that I want to go this way. This is where I see myself. This is what I ultimately want to achieve, or the philosophy that I am working towards. So how are you in turn contributing towards that? So that's me. Well, I'm an entrepreneur. This is where I am. How would this corporate contribute towards that while I contribute towards that corporate's vision? So it's a matter of being flexible. It's a matter of turning the negotiation tables. It's a matter of being bold and courageous. Like I said, it's the year of being courage, courageous. Okay. And it's a matter of being courageous and being able to have those discussions and know that when you go for it, obviously I can't just use them to achieve what I want while I don't deliver. That's another thing.
Yeah.
So that's why vision within vision is important, because they have to achieve their vision. I have to equally achieve my vision.
Sure. So I don't know if we're recording with the camera here, but I am like biting my nails as Dikeledi is speaking, because what you are asking for, Dikeledi, I don't know where it's available. Very few places.
Yes.
Very few places. Let me tell you, and I'm being truthful. As you are being visionary in your thinking, not only do corporates not have faith and trust in people, that when you arrive at the door and on your way to work, all you do is dream and think about the work that you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
There is no trust and faith in that. And firstly, there needs to be trust and faith in people, because people will rise to the occasion if you trust and faith them, but if you trust them and you've got faith in them. But I don't think that actually exists.
Mm-mm.
Secondly, the people that you work with, if they find out that you have a vision that's bigger than them, or that you have a vision outside of this space over here, you have a problem even there. So it's not just the bosses. It's not just the culture of the organization. It's even the person you're sitting next to.
Yes.
They better not know
that you're fighting against.
That you have a vision.
Yes.
That you are writing a book. That you speak. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? So you speaking of a world, I don't even think you've been in that world. I mean, where would you have been to have seen that? But let me tell you, for me, the way that I've managed to grow and be me and to amass all the skills that that I've amassed was through being an entrepreneur and getting work. So I get a lot of work when I'm an entrepreneur, and I've done really the most fantastic things that have enabled me to even take on really senior roles in corporate, because I've done, you know, org redesign on brand, on marketing divisions or whatever, through really great clients. I've done that. Then I work for one particular boss who I interview, and I've got a beautiful recording of that interview that I hope to release hopefully in the future. Was Sipho Sithole. Sipho Sithole was one of the few leaders who, when I worked in his department as a consultant, he said, "You know, we want to develop our own." Our own bench of leadership development. And I went off to Sweden because Sipho sent me there to go be part of the Swedish Academy for Ericsson and to learn how to deliver situational leadership across the continent. I spent 6 years traveling, delivering situational leadership, meeting up in Sweden and Budapest on a regular basis with the other faculty and building all of that. And that was over 15 years ago. He was so visionary that he never allowed the constraints of corporate to not empower entrepreneurs that came into his space. We need more people like that.
We need more people like that.
We're part of an international organization.
Mm-hmm.
Come on board on contract. We have an international program. We want you to be part of it, and you deliver it for us. So I had the freedom to do that and come in and do it. I mean, God bless this man who had vision 15 years ago. You know what else he did?
Mm-hmm.
He took the drivers of the vehicles and said, start your own business so you can buy your own vehicles, and we're going to start marketing you to other clients so that now this business is here and there. Instead of just stopping the drivers and moving to Uber, he created a transportation business, you know. So for me, we've talked some really hard truth about mm-hmm. what you're dreaming of. We yes. need corporates to have a new vision about.
Definitely.
And if the CEO doesn't have that vision, mm-hmm. the minions who hold the senior positions are not going to have mm-hmm. the vision. So it needs to permeate right through, mm-hmm. and they need to think differently about people like yourself.
Exactly. And you know what? We need leaders such as that leader that you had. And for me, it's people putting their wits to action. Every webinar session that you open online today is talking of leadership reimagined. It's talking of hybrid workforce, the new era, what is needed in the new era, how to adjust to this new era. And one of the things that is constantly spoken of that I also allude to in my D&I transformation talks is people strategy. As a corporate, you need to rethink your workspaces, and you need to rethink how you keep those employees committed, how you keep them in an organization. Today, workforce is looking for more than an income.
Mm.
A workforce is looking for more than a jobby job.
Mm.
People are out looking for purpose. Yes, we need income. Yes, we need salaries, but people are looking for way more than that. And how do you make sure that people are maintained in such space? Research shows that the more engaged and the more people feel valued, the more committed they will be and the more your productivity will go high. And that's what I talk about when I say vision within vision. When people work towards a philosophy, when they have something bigger that is driving them and pushing them, and they see value in working with you, how it helps them achieve that very thing that pushes them, trust me, commitment and productivity will be on a high level.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it might sound like a dream. What I'm talking of is a vision, is a dream. It doesn't exist. But if there's anything that this entrepreneur journey has taught me, is that there's nothing impossible. Someone has to start it. And we start off by talking. And I say so from experience. As I'm sitting here with you right now, I've currently in a process of having my 2-day masterclass being registered, in the process of it being registered with Vets Business School. A girl from a rural area, a girl who dropped out from Vets at one point studying civil engineering because she couldn't afford the fees. But today you have a masterclass that's about to be registered, that's in the process of being registered with Vets Business School. And the masterclass is nothing other than talking of Ubuntu. Ubuntu as the North Star, leading ethically using African cultures. And my point in that is it's exactly what we are discussing. Why should we conform to the norm? Why should we conform to the traditional way of doing things? Because that's how it has always been done. And in this particular masterclass case, it's about we always look up to the West for learning. Like you just said, you went to Sweden to learn how they do things, to learn all those leadership ways and everything. And correctly so, because if you aspire to be bigger, you better go to the best, right? In order for you to be better.
It was.
But COVID has also taught us that the unimaginative can happen, and we are living it.
The unimagined.
You understand? We are living it today. What stops us from reimagining Africa's existence? What stops us from reimagining our own cultures and ways as leading the way into the kind of Africa that we so desire and the leadership that we want?
And I wanted to say in that statement, have we also not subscribed to a Western way of a culture within our organization? We have not shaped many other things, including mm-hmm. our democracy,
mm-hmm.
enough to pull through the things that would have made our society a better society for all, not for some, for all. So even within the corporate workspace,
mm-hmm.
where do these rules come from?
Exactly.
Where does this mentality come from? You know, even in the institutions, you know, South African mm-hmm. institutions, and, you know, I'm looking forward to having mm-hmm. broader examples from across the continent, mm-hmm. but we have a mentality of lack that only some should make it to the top.
Exactly.
And that is what good looks like is mm-hmm. only when some
determined
make it.
By
only when these. Some can do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Only when some have liberties. The others should not have liberties.
Mm-hmm.
So a liberty is not a liberty unless only some
oh.
have it. It makes no sense, right?
It doesn't.
So how do we, but also what I wanted to say was there are a lot of people, you talk about people having a vision and being in a corporate and fulfilling that vision mm. and then it'll increase productivity, it'll increase mm. output. There are too many people sitting uninspired,
mm-hmm.
unhappy,
mm-hmm.
no vision, no mm. commitment, because it is possible to take this body
mm-hmm.
and just make it rise, go to work, do the work,
mm-hmm.
hope for a bonus, and leave.
And leave.
There are a lot of people
yes.
who live without
yes.
vision on vision. So until enough people come out
mm-hmm.
that you are saying are now existing,
mm-hmm.
we won't see the change. I think.
Yes.
We won't see the change. So I'm not saying what you were saying is unachievable for the
mm-hmm.
sake of saying it's unachievable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that until corporates
someone
change
mm-hmm.
until we who sit behind the desks
mm-hmm. change
demonstrate different
mm-hmm.
until we you know you see so many people speaking about what they do in the organization and what
mm-hmm.
they believe in
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot of lip service
it's
a lot of inauthenticity
mm-hmm.
that lands very well through smiling
mm-hmm.
faces but back at the ranch
mm-hmm.
they can't actually actualize that they
mm-hmm.
can't actually deliver and do that so until we gain more examples
mm-hmm.
of organizations that are doing it
mm-hmm.
and we see it working, we have a case, me and you,
exactly.
for your masterclass and for this podcast, right?
Very true. And until we can bridge that gap between exactly what you just said, the PR stunt, the look good, the say all the right things when lights, camera are on, you know, and you are on a stage. Because I always say that it's so amazing how corporate executives sounds so like so supportive, like they are so for entrepreneurs or they are so for this reimaginary leadership that everyone is on about, that we've got to reimagine the way we do things. Leadership has to evolve, you know, to answer to today's challenges and all that, and bring their team members and their workforce in and everything. When they are on stage behind the mic, they sound so eloquent and so convincing, but when you go on ground in their offices, there is such a disconnection between that message and the actual things that are happening on the ground. So you are right. Until such people step up, until we actually live it,
close the gap,
and
close
minimize
the gap.
That gap, it will sound as far-fetched.
Mm.
It will sound as remaining a dream.
Mm.
But when I give this talk of vision within vision, I always get people who come up to me and say, you know, Dickie Lady, now that I have something that I'm working towards, I look forward to work because I know how work contributes towards me
being able to do what
thing.
I'm able to do.
Exactly. You know, it's like you have something you're working towards.
Yes.
Before it was a matter of each job.
Yes. And I worked for an organization, and luckily I have worked for quite a few organizations. So I've got a few examples. I worked for an organization where people used to celebrate what they did in their spare time. So on the intranet and on the feed that we used to have, you'd have people showing what they did, and you would be shocked what people did in their spare time. Because the organization for many years has been encouraging it. I mean, some of the stuff, it was like a lesson. Like, where did they find this thing to do? I currently work in a place, and I work very closely with this one guy. And he does, okay, so some people know this, I don't, but he does art with nails and string. Sorry, man. Okay. Somebody will write on the podcast and tell me what it is.
Yeah.
He does the most fantastic artwork with like nails. So he'll do a design and he'll put the nails up, and then he puts rope and I thought to myself, my gosh, he's actually an artist, but he is completely left-brained, completely does something else. And it is so amazing. And he sells this art as well.
Mm.
So an environment that actually is okay with you being creative, doing something else, mm-hmm. loving something else, going off to study something mm-hmm. else, supporting it, encouraging it, celebrating it, because mm-hmm. like what that person mm-hmm. said, I go to work and I give it my all because my work enables me to exactly. do my dream. My work exactly. enables me to do this. Yes. My weekends are mine. My nights are mine. Mm-hmm. I work on weekends as mm-hmm. well. You know, but when I've got time, mm-hmm. I do this because this is what I love. And if I can't do this, yes. I'm not going to love my job.
You're not.
So I think you're doing an incredible, incredible work in that sense. And, I feel, well, I mean, I feel I need to be there for that masterclass.
Please, I'll let you know once it's out. We are still in the process now. I was facilitating the class January, February as a guest facilitator at Vest Business School, and I must say it was well received. The class loved it. The audience loved it. So now we are moving into the next step of me having it registered.
So that's fantastic. So I think there's also so much that we need to talk about, and I think we probably need to have a part two to this conversation. Mm-hmm. One is we've got to get back to your audience on LinkedIn, and actually, because we on LinkedIn committed that we would have the conversation.
Yes.
What I'm happy about that for me on that day mm-hmm. was to talk about the agility of being able to be in corporate and to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you ticked a lot of the boxes in terms of. One is sometimes you do need to go and work, mm. but you also have so much to learn. I've mm-hmm. learned everything I know from corporate, mm. right? I haven't picked up in the street.
Yes.
I've learned it even as a consultant, even as mm. an entrepreneur. Had I not been given the opportunity mm-hmm. to work mm-hmm. and do that work, I would not have learned everything that I've learned. So I do encourage entrepreneurs to see themselves in relationship
yes.
with with their yes. clients in relationship with corporate, because that is where not only will you serve mm-hmm. but you will be served. You need that on your CV.
Very true. And also you understand that importance. You know, you grasp it. I'm ever grateful for my corporate experience. I'm ever grateful. It prepared me for this journey today. And quite honestly, it's what I learned in corporate that I'm doing today. That it's how I carry myself today in my workspace, be it as a speaker, be it as a coach, when I interact with my clients. I'm one of those people who cringe at poor service. You know, like poor service delivery. I hate it with everything in me because corporate taught me that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, corporate taught me the
process,
the importance of service, of good service, of excellent service. So I deliver it to each and every person I meet, irrespective of who you are, what level, and all that. You understand? So those are the learnings that really no one can take away from you.
Absolutely.
And that I am always appreciative of the standards that corporate places and they operate at. Because really, to be quite honest, our corporate is global level. You know, we operate at a very global level.
Absolutely.
If you work in corporate in SA and go anywhere in the West in the world, you will fit in perfectly because you learn the best. You know, you learn the best. And that's what I do. And even in my business space, I always say to my clients that I teach you to run your business the corporate way.
Mm-hmm. So what's really lovely is I've had also a few clients that look at corporatization. So there are people who've built businesses that need to evolve and grow. And there's a corporatization that they're longing for that teaches certain systems, processes, and ways of doing things.
Corporatization.
Yeah, corporatization.
I like
really?
Yeah, I'm right.
Actually, yeah, change and transformation. I help with corporatization, actually.
So it's been my new
businesses that sort of I've helped out have really, you know, been, and it's not an easy thing to achieve. But I want to stay on track. So on track is to say that corporate is a partnership. There are lots of corporates who see a small business and they want to get service from the business, but it's still a give and take.
Mm-hmm.
The 40-year-old company has gone better because they had partnership with their clients.
Mm.
It's not just judging the person's work and then judging it and then walking away.
Mm-mm.
You know, do like my guy, Usam, and sit and say, I want it to look like this. I need to see this because your business is different to somebody else's business and your exposure is different. So corporates need to partner. you know, for growth. So that, and I'd love to see that you are doing that. You've got a book. Now you're doing a masterclass. Guess what? You're also going to do online training. I can see that coming. With technology, you're going to be charging in dollars and training throughout the world. You know, next to that, you're doing coaching. Next to that, you're doing this. So before sometimes, this is what my boss at Accenture used to say, before you can dig deep in one competency and skill, go broad.
Yes.
So broaden your exposure. And then you'll find that there's one opportunity that makes you go deep.
Zoom in.
And zoom in. And that is it now and what you are known for.
Very true.
So you're on an amazing journey. I've learned from you. And I just wanted to close the loop on what I wanted to share with you. Thank you, madam.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. This was great. And in closing, I'll just say you hit the nail. You know, you're right. You're correct that the one thing I always say as entrepreneurs, as small businesses, looking for opportunities and everything is that do your part. Come to the party. You know, come in your fullness to the party. Don't just show up. Show up well. Do it well. Deliver. I always say, let us rebrand small businesses. We are more than that. We can do more than that. We have the know-how. If you don't know, ask. You have Abudikeledi as coaches who can help you. Ask. How do we do this? People always say like that corporatization, it shouldn't be something you wait to do when you are at the point of scaling up or growing. You can do it from the very beginning, from the onset, because it's a matter of language. Changing your language. Speak the language at your level. I do strategy facilitation. When I'm at that level where you are starting, we do planning. We take your wish and we break it down into actions. Day planning. We map your way forward. It's a matter of language. It's a matter of using the right lingo and speaking at the right level at the right time. That's it. We can do it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Dikeledi, for your help and for your time. Thank you, my darling.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.